Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our live stream Holy Communion service from All Saints Fordham and HS Green on Sunday, the 25th of October. This will be our first communion service since the lockdown in March, and will be conducted under very strict COVID guidelines. Francis will explain at the beginning of the communion how this will be done. So whether you're here in church this morning or watching or listening from home, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will bring us together, even if we cannot be together in person. I've got the privilege of leading the service this morning, and I'll be assisted by Linda Grote, who will be reading our Bible passage, and Martin Legood, who will lead our prayers of intercession. Francis, our rector, will be continuing to preach on our series in Philippians. All you need for the service is a service sheet, which you should have received either by email or you can find it on the church website. It will be useful also, if you have one, to have a new international version of the Bible handy. But before we begin our service, shall we commit our time together in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, in these strange and difficult times for all of us, help us to draw aside from the concerns of the world and the worries of our daily lives. May we quiet our hearts and minds to worship you and to hear your voice. During our service today, we will remember your ultimate sacrifice, your crucified body, your blood shed for each one of us, and salvation for all those who believe in your name, the name above every name, Jesus. So Lord, bless our time together. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our first hymn this morning speaks of that amazing love, how Jesus left the throne of heaven to live among us and to die on the cross for each one of us. Charles Wesley's hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood?"
For me,
We thank you, Father, that through your cruel death and resurrection, we can indeed rejoice that we are no longer fast bound in sin. No condemnation now we dread, but we are clothed in righteousness divine. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, this is the first commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Now we say together the collect prayer as printed on page 2 of the service sheet. Together we say, Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for learning, help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which you have given us, in our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, shall we stand and declare what we, as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the words of the Nicene Creed on page 2 and 3. We say together, we believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in one Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son, with whom the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. And Linda Grote will now bring us our Bible reading, after which Francis will open God's word to us.
We continue to read from the book of Philippians, starting today, chapter 3, verse 12. Paul writes about pressing on towards the goal. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, let's pray and seek God. Heavenly Father, let the word, your word, be the treasure of our hearts, that we might delight in your truth and walk in the glorious liberty of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're continuing our study of Paul's letter to the Philippian Christians from the New Testament, and today we'll focus on chapter 3 and the reading which Linda has just read for us. So do have that open in front of you if you have a Bible, either on your device or perhaps even in an old-fashioned book. Paul is writing to the Philippian Christians from prison. Epaphroditus, a member of the Philippian church, has travelled a long distance to visit Paul. The Philippian congregation have sent him to encourage Paul in his imprisonment and to give him a cash gift that they've collected to help him. Paul writes back wanting to say thank you and to encourage the community in their Christian faith, and he wants to strengthen the friendship between him and them. In chapter 3, Paul mixes encouragement and warning, because in their Christian discipleship, he wants the Philippians to follow the right kind of people. There are some people that they shouldn't follow. In verse 18, he speaks of those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. These people are not to be followed, and we'll consider what Paul meant by that phrase, enemies of the cross, later on in this talk. Our theme for today is two ways to follow. In Paul's day, there was the invitation to follow a range of people. Some were good examples, some were bad examples. Both were calling out to the Philippians, and it's the same for us today. Particularly through the internet, we can listen to countless voices seeking to give advice on how to live, and specifically how to live for God. How do we distinguish the difference between good and bad examples to follow? We might like to think that it's not really an issue for us. We follow Christ. Following Jesus is at the heart of our mission statement as a church. We want to know Christ and to make him known. But we must be honest and recognize that our following of Jesus is filtered through other people. And indeed, that's the way it should be. Followers of Christ are called to be part of a church community. It isn't a solo activity. So inevitably, the people around us are examples to us. It's inescapable. We are social. We are cultural people who absorb the way to live from those around us, at home and in the workplace, at school and college and university, and in the church. So how can you tell whether someone is or isn't a good example to follow? That a person owns the title Christian isn't enough. That a person owns other various titles, believer or born again or evangelical or minister or rector, whatever it might be, the title alone isn't enough. So how can we tell whether someone is a good example to follow? That's our question for today. And I've got three headings to guide us through this sermon. The first is the longest. Here it is on the screen. A mature Christian imitates Christ's mindset. That's our first point for today. Please have a look with me at verse 15 if you've got a Bible with you. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Paul recognized that there are different levels of maturity amongst the members of a church community. Those with a mature faith should take such a view of things. That is, have a particular mindset. So what does Paul mean by a mature Christian mindset? He's referring to his understanding of what it means to follow Christ. If we could have the next slide. Last week I explained about the shape of Jesus' life, which is poetically described in chapter 2, verses 6 to 11 of Philippians. Jesus took a status step down from heaven. He faced humiliation and went down low to death on a Roman cross. He did this for the good of others, the great good of saving many for eternal life. Jesus was humiliated, but then he was resurrected and lifted up to glory. He was given the name above every name. So this diagram on the screen from last week's sermon illustrates the shape of Jesus' life. A status drop down, followed by exaltation to glory in heaven. Then in chapter 3, verses 4 to 11, Paul explains how he lost his status markers of being part of the Jewish community. He gave them up for the sake of knowing and gaining Jesus Christ. He took a status step down from Pharisaic Judaism. And now he writes this letter. As he writes the letter, he's experiencing the humiliation of being in prison for his faith. Paul was on the downward phase of the journey, but his hope was on the promise of resurrection to life with Christ forever. Paul is looking forward to the exaltation up to Christ's glory. And the reason he has confidence of a glorious future is because he's received righteousness as a gift from God through faith in Christ. He's been given the righteousness of Christ so that when God the Father looks at him, Paul, he doesn't see Paul's sins, but he sees someone who is right because he sees the righteousness of his son Jesus. Paul wants the Philippians to understand that a mature Christian imitates Christ's mindset, and he also imitates Paul as Paul followed Christ. This drop down followed by exaltation is the true shape of the Christian life. Verse 15 again. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Resurrection is our glorious goal. So the mature Christian presses on through difficulties, humiliations, and sufferings. The mature Christian presses on, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Verse 14, Paul writes, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. So a mature Christian view of things recognizes that the cross was the road to glory for Jesus. A mature Christian is not taken aback when similar kinds of difficulties come upon them. Instead, maturity presses on through the difficulties. When things are taken away from us because we follow Christ, a mature Christian keeps living by faith and doesn't give up. This was the way of Jesus, and it was the experience of Paul. And it is a normal part of Christian discipleship today. But this is a hard message to win people to. It's like turning atheists into missionaries. Jesus' parable of the sower shows the kind of difficulties that cause people to fall away and to give up on Jesus. Trouble and persecution because of the word. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth. The resurrection side of the journey is attractive. There's a wow factor to that. But who wants to embrace a pathway to humility? I wonder if you can think of a time in your life when you were humiliated. A time when maybe you can run back and there were strong shame feelings in you. It's awful. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants feelings of shame in front of other people. And so we start to feel the tension and the discomfort of what the letter to the Philippians is teaching us. The way of Christ, the way of the cross, taking up your cross, is to put yourself out there for the progress of Jesus' gospel in a way that risks shame and status loss. That is something that we have a wonderful example of in Paul's life. We do things not just for our own interests, but also to help others in the church community. These things are the cost of following Christ. Jesus did it in the ultimate way, dying for our sins to save us. Paul followed him as Christ's messenger in the towns and cities around the Mediterranean coast, and he ended up in prison. Well, here in England and in the UK, we don't live in a culture where people are put in prison for their faith. But that does happen under different forms of government around the world at the moment, mainly in Islamic societies or communist regimes. So we don't get put in prison for our faith. But speaking the truth of God's word can cause serious status drops in the UK at the moment. I'll give you briefly two painful legal cases which show the reality of this. In 2016, Felix N'Gole said during a Facebook debate that the Bible and God identify homosexuality as a sin. On the basis of this, he was removed from his two-year MA course in social work at the University of Sheffield. Christy Higgs was recently dismissed from her job as a school pastoral administrator for writing two private Facebook posts that raised concerns about transgenderism and sex education at her son's Church of England primary school. Two real-life examples of shaming status drop, loss of income, and loss of career progress. This is really hard for Felix and Christy. In 2019, Felix's name was cleared, I think in a tribunal, but obviously he's lost a number of years, and I don't know where he's been left in terms of carrying on with his education. We should understand that humiliating status blows are part of the normal Christian experience. We shouldn't be surprised when we encounter difficulties in our Christian walk. And we press on because of the joyful hope of the resurrection. I would agree with Paul that this is a mature Christian view, because it took me a long time to grasp it, and I wonder sometimes if I've fully grasped it yet. And I'm not sure that this is a commonly held view in the Christian church in the West and the UK, because we've lived in a Christian culture where a lot of these battles had been settled, and following Christ was generally seen as a good thing. I know in the details through the last few hundred years, it's a lot more complicated in individual Christians' lives, but in general, the culture has been Christian. So a mature Christian imitates Christ and Paul's mindsets. A mature Christian mindset is heaven-focused. Well, what's the alternative to this that we are to avoid? This leads to my second point. It's an earthly mindset. Don't follow people with an earthly mindset. We could have the second point up. The bad examples that Paul wants the Philippian Christians to avoid are people who in some way present an allegiance to Christ or God, but they aren't interested in pressing through difficulties in order to attain the resurrection. When it comes to rewards, they're focused on the here and now. In verses 18 and 19, Paul lists five markers of earthly-minded people. Let's have a look at those verses together. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Well, what does Paul mean by enemies of the cross? Paul's view of things is that we're to press on through difficulties because of the treasure of the resurrection and the reward that is to come then. Christ modeled this to us by going to the cross, and then that was followed by resurrection. As it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The kind of people that we are to avoid following are enemies of the cross. Imitating the humility of Christ in going to the cross is not part of their gospel. Hardship for following Christ is something they avoid. Their focus is on what they can get now, filling their belly. Their God is their stomach. The status drop of the cross in this present life is not part of their mindset. The delayed gratification of Paul's mindset is not part of their gospel. So it seems to me that the message of these kind of people that Paul wants us to avoid is a steady emphasis on the glory of what can be attained now in the present. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. The emphasis is on rewards now. The words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 give us a parallel message. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus presents the same message as Paul, or rather, Paul presents the same message as Jesus, that we should focus on the reward of heaven rather than earthly rewards now. So the difference between an earthly mindset and a heavenly mindset is about where we're looking to receive rewards and status. Is it now, or is it at the resurrection? So don't follow people with an earthly mindset. Instead, and this is my third and final point, follow people with their mindset on future resurrection. Let's have a look at verse 20. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Followers of Jesus have a hope of reward and joy beyond this life. The Philippian Christians were citizens of the Greek city of Philippi, but Paul tells them that they are also citizens of heaven. And it's the same for Christians today. I brought my passport with me, which tells me that I'm a British citizen. It declares my right of abode in the UK, as it says inside. So this passport is proof that me as the holder, I have the right to live in the UK. It tells me I'm a citizen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. I have a right to live here. As many of you know, I lived with my family in the Netherlands for 6 years before coming to join you here in Fordham and Etash Green. We moved there in 2012. And living abroad made me think about citizenship and national identity for me and my family. Zoe was 2 years old when we moved to the Netherlands. And my children are now all Dutch speakers, and they still miss living there. Georgina and I have returned to the country that's our home, England, but for them, that's more ambiguous. In some ways, the Netherlands is still their home. But our passports tell us that all five of us have a right to live in the UK. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 tells us that Christians have, if you like, another passport, a second passport that gives us a right to the resurrection and the right of abode with God. It's a passport which declares us to be citizens of heaven and promises a place where we belong. Well, how do we get this heavenly passport? Philippians chapter 3 tells us that it's a gift from God that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And it isn't really our passport. It's Jesus' passport. It's through being included in him, through his death and resurrection, that we have the right to a heavenly citizenship. So it's through our inclusion in Christ that we have a heavenly citizenship. We put our faith in him and we're given Jesus' righteousness as a gift. So Paul tells us that a mature mindset is to fix our hope on the return of Jesus from heaven. He's our Savior and we are eager for him and his coming salvation. Please look at verse 21. He will bring everything under his control. He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The mature Christian understands that the way things are now is not the way things will always be. We have the joyful hope of a resurrection body, a glorious body in contrast to the humble bodies that we have now. And humble really is perhaps the best translation of that verse, fitting in with the humiliation theme of these chapters. At the moment, our bodies age. Things go wrong with them. We get aches and pains. For some, there is paralysis. For some, there is cancer. For others, there's Alzheimer's and dementia. The amazing hope of heaven is that in the same way that Jesus was resurrected with a glorious immortal body, we also will be resurrected with a glorious immortal body. Jesus is our pattern. We put our faith in him and we gain a citizenship in heaven. So, in summary, Philippians presents us with two ways to follow. There's the way of Christ, which is a heavenly-minded focus, and there's the way of those who are enemies of the cross, an earthly-minded focus. Philippians points us to follow other people today who are focused on heaven, focused on the return of Jesus, and status beyond this life. Following Jesus faithfully will mean losses of status and difficulties through the years. For Paul, it meant prison. For Felix and Gole, it meant losing that MA course. For Kirsty Higgs, it meant the loss of a job. But whatever may come, we should press on to win the prize for which God is calling us heavenwards. Let's have a moment of quiet to reflect, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, you caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. We thank you for the hope of heaven and a transformed resurrection body. Please help each of us to hold fast to the hope of everlasting life, which you give us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Francis, and may we too strive to be those mature Christians, imitating Christ's mindset, and like Paul, be a good example, pressing on through the difficulties for the joyful hope of the resurrection. Our next song speaks of that glorious day when we as believers come face to face with Jesus and to live with him forever. There is a higher throne.
There is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from sun will stand, made faultless through the Lamb. Believing hearts find promise, grace, salvation comes. Hear heaven's voice sky.
Martin will bring us prayers of intercession. Thank you, Martin.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach you with our thanks and praise and petitions, we do so knowing that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. You are the sovereign Lord. You, Lord, sit above the circle of the earth, and you dwell in unapproachable light. The infinite, the eternal, and the unchanging God. We, your creatures, and you, the Creator, Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, the God of holiness, justice, and love, that we can come confidently before you and that we can know that our prayers are heard is a great wonder to us, that we are accounted righteous in your sight through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is our great joy and hope. And we know that it is only by the Holy Spirit that our hearts can cry, Abba, Father. For this we praise and worship you. We remember our fellow Christians today, our brothers and sisters around the world, some worshipping in peace and safety, others in fear, facing persecutions and many hardships. We pray particularly for those in Nigeria and China. Many Christians in Nigeria have lost their lives this year, with Muslim extremists raiding villages, kidnapping and murdering. We pray that the faith of your people will remain strong as they try to understand what is happening. We pray that the government and authorities might intervene to bring an end to this persecution, and that somehow, by your grace, believers may be able to love their enemies and to pray for their salvation. We pray for the work of Barnabas Fund as they try to reach those that need help and for other organisations doing similar work. We think too of Christians in China, increasingly restricted with facial recognition cameras placed inside and outside churches, with lives made more and more difficult by President Xi Jinping. Please help them to stay faithful to the end and to remember, as church buildings are pulled down, that believers are a holy temple. Heavenly Father, as COVID-19 continues to cause disruption and take lives, we pray for those in authority over us that good decisions might be made. As a tiny virus sets nations reeling, we ask that our leaders will acknowledge their dependence upon you, the one true God, and may revival come to the corridors of power. For it is Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, who rules over the nations. He is Lord, governing all things according to your purposes. Help us to remember that you are in control. As the United States approaches an election, we do pray that your people will continue to have a voice, truly valuing the life of the unborn child, traditional marriage, and your righteous laws. We ask that for those that are part of the church family here at Fordham and 8 Ash Green, who have been unable to meet, who are missing fellowship and normality, that you would help them to stay strong in their faith. May it be a time when they know you better and draw closer to you in greater dependence. And finally, for the work here at Fordham and 8 Ash Green, we pray for Francis as he bears a responsibility for leadership. We pray that you give him wisdom and energy for the many tasks that fall to him. We pray for the office staff trying to stay on top of changing regulations, for the PCC and church wardens as decisions are made. We pray too for the children's work, that it may continue to prosper through changes of leadership. And we pray for opened hearts and minds of the children and young people, that many may come to know you as Lord and Saviour. We also bring before you the growth groups as they continue in some form during this time of great disruption. And we pray for all of these things in the very precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Apologies for this technical intermission. Well, there you go. As we come to the Lord's Supper, I invite all who've been baptized, who have a repentant heart and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, to eat in remembrance of his precious death for our salvation. We welcome members of other churches who already participate in the Lord's Supper in their own church. Julian, there's a bit of funny echo on my voice. Is there anything you can do about that? Let me give you some details of how we will do this in a COVID-safe way. We cannot share the common cup, so I prepared the bread on Friday by adding a drop of wine to each wafer. This is, of course, an unusual way to do it, but it does mean that everyone can receive both wine and bread. I know that you'll all want to honour God by obeying his command to remember Jesus through the bread and wine. However, I want you to feel no pressure to participate if you have any concerns, any health concerns. During the distribution, I'll wear a face mask and I'll come to you in your seat. Please keep your face mask on. If you'd like to receive the bread and wine, please hold your hands out in front of you, one on top of the other, and I will drop the bread into your hand. When I've moved away, please remove your mask so you can eat the bread and wine. And if you're on the balcony and you'd like to participate, please can you come down and stand underneath the balcony, socially distanced. So we come to this moment humbly and thankfully, remembering the eternal life that Jesus can give us. Hear the words of comfort our Saviour Christ says to all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We continue on page 4. Let's praise God together for his goodness. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It's our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Let's say this together. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And we pray together the prayer of humble access on page 4. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in your tender mercy gave your only Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, he instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, we humbly pray, and grant that we, receiving these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, according to your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your body and soul to everlasting life. Take and eat this remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your body and soul to everlasting life.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you. That healed, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. Drink this cup that all may enter in.
God of grace, your Son Jesus Christ fed the hungry with the bread of life and the word of his kingdom. Renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your true and living bread, who is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. And Alistair's going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
So we continue to say together the Lord's Prayer as printed on page 4 of our service sheet. Together we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now Francis will give us the church news and conclude with a blessing.
Yes, we're coming to the end of our service. Some items of church news. We have our regular Zoom coffee at 11:30. I do look forward to seeing many of you there, those at home as well, do join in. And then this afternoon we have the All Saints Club, 3 p.m. for 4 to 11-year-olds, looking at Abraham and Isaac from the Jesus Storybook Bible, and then 4 p.m. for 11 to 15-year-olds, looking at Paul's letter to the Philippians. I'll be taking annual leave from tomorrow through to next Saturday, and the church office will be open to help you from Tuesday to Friday, 9:15 to 2:30 each day. The walking group is meeting this Wednesday at 10:45 a.m. at the John Owen Barn. Please contact Jackie Griffiths if you'd like to join in with socially distanced exercise and conversation. And do join us next Sunday when John Bradley will be preaching from Philippians on seeking peace. I'm looking for a new governor to join the governing body for Fordham School. We have a vacant place for a foundation governor to work with me and Mary Derlacher. So please do contact me if you think you might be able to serve the children and staff of the school and Jesus' gospel in this way. And finally, prayer focus on Wednesday, the 4th of November. That's in 10 days' time, starting at 7:30 p.m. Do please put that date in your diary. We moved it to Wednesday night because of Christianity Explore, which is now running on Thursday evenings. And please make it a top priority to meet and pray with your church family. The meeting will be online via Zoom. Let's finish with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together and for your word to us from Philippians. And we pray that we might have this mature view of the Christian life. Please give us strength to press on, Lord, with our eyes focused on the prize, a glorious resurrection body in your kingdom. So, Lord, would you give us strength when we encounter difficulties and hurdles to jump? When we struggle with the pain of humiliation for following the Lord Jesus, please sustain us and lead us. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.